you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. Following up on a story CFRC reported on in May, the City of Kingston has announced that it is nearly ready to open 33 new transitional housing units at 315 Queen Mary Road. The former Extendicare building was purchased by the City in 2024 and is now in the final stages of renovation and construction. The space will operate under a shared care model with three pillars, including a primary health care clinic operated by Kingston Community Health Centers, KCHC, a transitional supportive housing program operated by Home Base Housing, HBH, and a community use / programming space operated by Lionhearts Kingston. Once construction is completed in mid-August, Homebase Housing expects to open the 33 transitional housing units for individuals age 55 plus with varying levels of health care needs. CFRC spoke with Jane Hartley, Director of Housing and Social Services for the City of Kingston, about the update.
I wonder if you could talk about what it means to be providing those spaces within the city and how it fits into the city's framework regarding housing and homelessness initiatives.
Thank you for the question, and happy to be here to speak to these things. It is an exciting time. So Homebase Housing will be welcoming guests into the site, probably starting in mid-August. So we're almost completed construction now and getting all the fit up and those things done. Homebase Housing is an excellent organization to be supporting these efforts. They've been in existence in the City of Kingston since 1987, so many, many years. They support a large range of supportive housing, transitional, emergency shelter, and the demographics, right from youth up to this site, which will be 55 plus for individuals with mobility challenges. In terms of it fitting into the mandate, I'm really proud to have this site opening as a shared care model. This is really the first in Kingston, and I would say there is not a lot where you have the co-location of a shared care facility like this, which has transitional housing and has primary health clinic located as well, and then community space. And also with the report that went earlier this month to talk about the health and wellness center that will be located in addition to community space.
On July 7th, 2026, City Council approved the incorporation of a new wellness / health center, including a small therapy pool within the community space. Construction of the wellness center was originally considered as part of the city's partnership with the YMCA at the Invista Center, but staff recommended a change in that project scope following further review and consultation with a healthcare consultant. The wellness health center is intended to focus on respiratory rehabilitation, occupational therapy, physiotherapy, and hydrotherapy, amongst a number of services, and staff believes that the relocation to 315 Queen Mary Road will create, quote, synergies with other healthcare services within the property.
It's a really wonderful opportunity. You know, individuals that will be welcomed in are on their journey through the housing continuum. Some, depending on their life situation, will have a number of needs. And this is a 24/7 site that will have support, including PSW support, just life skills, housing search, addictions and mental health support if needed. So every individual will have a different case plan developed for them and help them to determine what's the best course of action for them and with them. There could be individuals that are looking to transition. It could be to long-term care, could be to independent housing. The beauty here is those individuals that do not have access to a primary health care physician will be rostered by Midtown Health, which is wonderful. And just that opportunity for things that we don't even know that might be possible there. So this site, I would argue, is supporting a number of those things that we recognize as needed to help people thrive, move forward, and support them along that journey.
Not only is it removing barriers to care, but it's a very proactive approach approach, and reading some of the documentation before, the fact that even as people transition out of the space, yes, there will be continued social support and health support.
And that's a big piece as well, because once somebody transitions and moves, that's important because it's that community and that connection that you want to ensure people feel that they know where to go if they're having a challenge or have questions. That needs to be there. That really is a part of the success and our overarching system-wide responsibility as a service manager. It really is around from, you know, the emergency homelessness response right through to market. And within that, there's a lot of intersections where it's supporting people that are precariously housed. So there's so many pieces that the city and where we're trying to find opportunities to support individuals. The best, you know, is if somebody's already housed, to help them remain housed. But inevitably things happen in people's lives. And this is where Queen Mary Road can support an individual that has specific needs. I'm really excited. Our team, we're really happy to be working with Home Based Housing, Midtown Health, and we'll be starting our community liaison committee up. So there's a lot of positive, great things happening, and really excited to see this added to the opportunities that we're trying to present to individuals that need it across the city and then across all the different situations and things that people require and need.
Provincial and federal funding can sometimes be challenging, and changes can come very suddenly. It is nice to see something that is stable and that will be a sustained way of supporting people. You referenced demographics. Where did the 55 plus age demographic decision come from? Was that the city? Was that home-based housing? Was it just identifying a need within the community?
Yeah, mostly from identifying a need and a continuing need. And also understanding that this demographic, 55 plus, have unique needs, and that we're seeing they were being supported, but looking at that there needed to be a site that could holistically incorporate supports for these individuals from kind of a broad race, from people that recently have been experiencing homelessness to ones that have been in shelter right now or precariously housed, couch surfing. Those aren't ideal situations. So when we look back the time when this concept was being planned, was what was our by name list looking like, doing our housing needs assessments, and what was the type of housing that was needed, what was the demographic that would benefit and would need this type of support. And 55 plus was targeted. There was a gap, and also population is aging. We're seeing that. So the population of Kingston. So when you mention proactive, it really is trying to see, we have shelters that are supporting women. We now have supportive housing sites, Indigenous understanding. So it really was identifying there was a need, and we're stepping up and really interested in supporting that need and coming together with the shared care model with Midtown Health. It just was a perfect recipe, I think, to help people.
The Midtown Kingston Health Home, which had been operating out of a temporary location at 791 Princess Street following the initial delay, relocated to 315 Queen Mary Road in June.
I know it hasn't opened yet, but are there hopes that this could be the start of applying this model elsewhere in the city in future, or expanding it in future?
I think really anything is possible. Right now, we are in the midst of developing our 10-year housing and homelessness plan, and part of that is looking at, like we talked about, what the housing needs are, housing need assessments being done. We have gone out and done extensive community engagement to hear from the residents of the city and the county, to hear what is the needs, where are their gaps, and then also backing that up with data that we have through our by name list, our centralized wait list, through census information. And this could be, once this is up and running and seeing the success, do we replicate it? Do we replicate a model that might be similar, but another specific demographic? As a service manager, it's our role to determine what is the need. And then our goal is always looking to support that need, working with the partners that we value. We can't do it alone. And it's those partners that support the work. And I think just touching on your comment about funding to support both the emergency homelessness response and all types of supportive housing, transitional, demonstrated to be successful in the path forward to help people to move along the continuum. It's expensive. And funding that we have received, while we're grateful grateful to the province for that funding. We have not seen an increase in our provincial funding in, this is, I believe, 3 years. So the municipal contribution, taxpayer dollars, does increase. So we want to ensure that funds are being directed to where there's the most impact. You know, that's a huge part of our role as well.
The city's next official plan has been postponed to June 2027. Do you think that the postponement will allow you to gather more data on this site and perhaps incorporate it into that plan?
I'm not sure. I think that would be something we would talk to those that are in the area working on the official plan. I think any and all information, if it's deferred, there is an opportunity always to see, okay, what additional data can we look for? In terms of timing, we're opening now. So as a city, we're always working with our partners to monitor, track how things are going, outcome focused, what the outcomes are for individuals that do move on. So it really will depend, I think, on what we see over the next 6 months and just understanding as well. These are individuals. Every individual is different. Every individual's journey is different. So whereas some people may move on a quicker pace, others may need additional support. So it's really helping people that are there with that case plan. They will have a case manager with 24/7 support.
As part of the development of the site, the city is currently accepting applications for a community liaison committee until August 9th, 2026. The committee will ensure continued connection and dialogue between partner agencies and the surrounding community.
Before we go, you did reference that there is a community liaison committee. The deadline for that application is August 9th. Who are you looking for and what might people do on that committee?
If you're not aware, we do have that model running now for our Sydenham Road shelter. We did establish a community liaison committee last fall and the shelter opened in February of this year. It's been really beneficial. It's been an opportunity for the community to hear from the operator, hear about any issues, talk about challenges that might be arising. In terms of the makeup, it really is that opportunity to bring community members, business members that are in the community, the operator, the city, our district councillors, Cataract Way Conservation, Midtown Health, as well as a seat for whoever is the health and wellness operator. And also Lionhearts. That's the only one I haven't talked about because Lionhearts is a big part. They will be opening vocational laundry on the site.
A vocational laundry program overseen by Lionhearts is set to begin operations in October 2026, providing participants with practical job skills training. An additional community use and programming space is expected to open in early 2027.
Getting ahead, you know, when you talked about proactive, it's saying understanding, here's how the model works, answering any questions that people may have. We would have that minutes, all the information posted on Get Involved Kingston. And it's that liaison between the program that's operating and the community and the businesses. So if they have questions, they can be posed to the community liaison committee. Information's then available that might not be known on Get Involved Kingston. Because sometimes things come organically, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, is the meetings we've been having monthly for Sydenham Road have been very productive in terms of connecting the shelter operator in that case with the individuals that are part of the community liaison committee and learning about what is available from the city, who can I contact. But it's also a chance, there's any challenge, any issue, anything going on, that's where, you know, the operator can say, okay, help me understand that and explain maybe what's happening. Any misinformation, it can be put forward, addressed, posted on the Get Involved Kingston. It's transparent, reliable information, real time. We see this committee helping to foster communication. So we just want to make sure all the parties that are involved in the shared model are there to answer questions, help support residents, community members, businesses with questions they may have, issues they may have, and support them ongoing as this moves forward.
And as you say, this is new for everyone. And so always wonderful to have an opportunity for people to ask questions, to learn more, and to, as you say, disseminate that information.
For some people, transitional, it's not known. It's not something that they're familiar with. So it's an opportunity to really help people understand that these are the individuals that are being supported there. These are people that are looking to move forward, and this is how we're supporting them to get there. And I think that's a really important part because it just helps to put out information so that people know, and any unknowns or things that you might not have asked, that we're able to put it online, make it available to all.
Thank you very much for your time today, and really looking forward to seeing this open. And as the site gets up to full speed, as you say, with Lionhearts and with the community space, I think it's a really exciting initiative and one that I think people will be very interested in. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No, my pleasure. Happy to be here, and look forward to reporting back and seeing all the success and excitement that we see happening there.
Individuals interested in applying for the Community Liaison Committee can find out more by visiting the Get Involved Kingston page at getinvolved.cityofkingston.ca/queen-mary-road-transitional-housing. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is part 7 of the OUA Football Season Preview, brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. Today we're taking a look at the Western Mustangs, and my, how the mighty have fallen, at least for one season. 2025 was unquestionably the worst season of the Greg Marshall era. The regular season record looks decent, the stats look good, but once you start to take a closer look at not just the stats, but how this team actually played in 2025, it paints a picture of stagnation. Western did beat Queens at Richardson, no doubt about that, but it took everything they had to squeak out the win. The Mustangs beat everybody they faced throughout the regular season, but not quite in the same dominant fashion in which we are accustomed to. Teams hung around against Western. Their ferocious defense gave up 29 points to a not great Ottawa offense. York scored 28 on the Mustangs, a number that is simply inconceivable even 12 months prior. Western narrowly eked out a 9-point victory against Windsor in a game that was very light on touchdowns. And then, in one of the most one-sided beatdowns of the modern era, Laurier hung 60 points on Western in their barn. And that game seemed to break the Stallions' spirits as Guelph rolled into town the very next week and eliminated them in the OUA quarterfinals. An astonishing, sad end to the greatest coaching run in U Sports history, arguably the greatest coaching run in Canadian history. 2025 stats. Western was first in points for with 361, that is 45 points per game. They were second in total yards with 3,971, which is about 503 yards per game. They were 10th in passing yards with 1,869, which is about 233 passing yards per game. So, dare I say it, kind of a bad passing offense, but made up for it by an extremely effective run game. They were first in total rush yards with 2,169. That's 270 rushing yards per game. They were going to run the football, and they did it quite well. On defense, they were 7th in total points allowed with 246. They gave up 31 points per game. That is an astonishing figure for Western. They were 9th in pass defense, giving up 312.5 yards per game, 6th in rushing yards per game at 147, 8th out of 11 teams in total yards per game with 459.5. This is a defense that used to run teams over, and they looked quite porous in 2025. Still, point differential of plus 115th. Good enough for third in the OUA, and if you look at their last five seasons, this is a dominant program. 2021, they go 6-0, they win the Vanier. 2022, they go 8-0, and they come darn close. 2023, third straight Yates Cup victory, 8-0. 2024, 8-0, but lose the Yates Cup. 2025, 7-1, eliminated in the OUA quarterfinals. 2026 outlook, and this is going to be a hard one to predict. It is definitely a season of change for Western. Longtime quarterback Evan Hillock is gone. Legendary head coach Greg Marshall is gone. The OUA Rookie of the Year, Jackson McKay, is gone. He's going down to the NCAA to pursue a track scholarship. Western has lost some key pieces in the coaching room and on the field. They will get standout running back Ethan Dalby back, and that will help immensely. And they'd have a new head coach in Michael Faulds. And the attention and excitement around this new coach has brought in a pretty talented transfer class as well, which is good because Western, for the first time in a long time, didn't feel like they could just overwhelm you with the sheer amount of talent they have on display. Their defense, especially that linebacking and secondary room, man, they left a lot to be desired. So if they can fill those gaps, they will still have a strong defensive line. They're always a great line of scrimmage school. But if they can fill those gaps behind them, this is going to be a really dangerous team again. Look, they're going to win their first four games of the season. Their first real test is week 5 at home against Queens. And look, what a game that's going to be. I'll be there live. I cannot wait for that one. I have Queens winning it. But then I have Western winning their final three games afterwards to finish with a 7-1 record, good enough for second in the OUA. We know they are going to run the ball well. But can they rejuvenate a subpar passing game? They've got the right guy in charge to do exactly that. I'll put it to you this way. Western is going to be great very soon. But will it be next year? I don't know yet. It might take some time for them to get back up to those lofty standards. If it does, it leaves a door open for your Queens Gaels to possibly snap their long losing streak against Western and take home a second straight Yates Cup. If Western rebounds immediately, they are going to be hard to beat in 2026.
Coming up next, I'll be taking you through weather and traffic for the Kingston region. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, August 5th, 25 is your high, with cloudy and humid conditions feeling closer to 30 degrees. Thursday, August 6th, 27 is your high, but with the humidity it feels closer to 30, and once again we've got a UV index of 8. Friday, August 7th, 26 degrees is your high, with largely sunny conditions, feeling closer to 27, so a little cooler, beautiful day here in the city of Kingston. Saturday, August 8th, 25 is your high, with a 55% chance of precipitation in the morning, going to feel closer to 30 degrees otherwise, and quite humid. Sunday, August 9th, 25 is your high, feeling closer to 30, partly sunny, with a 70% chance of afternoon thunderstorms. And starting off next week, Monday, August 10th, 25 is your high, with a 55% chance of precipitation. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Cranbrook Street from Lakeview Avenue to Days Road is closed for pedestrian improvements. Ontario Street from Brock Street to Clarence will be closed August 7th starting 7 a.m. until August 9th at 6:30 p.m. for the poker run. Bath Road from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing these intersection pedestrian signals at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. They are installing signals at Bath Road and Lafleur Park, Concession Street and Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. Wright Crescent at Palace Road to Palace Road is still closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive is still closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users. The City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston are in the midst of a reconstruction of Princess Street. This major infrastructure project includes upgrades to underground and above ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrians and cyclists. Berry Street from Queen is still closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Coming up next is Genevieve Hinch with CFRC's concert and events calendar.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, workshops, markets, or family-friendly fun, there's lots happening around Kingston this week, so let's get into it. Wednesday features games in the square, swinging summer at the City Hall Amphitheater, plus plenty of chances to test your knowledge with music trivia at Riverhead Brewing and trivia night at Dak Brewing. Live music includes Taryn McKenna and Vince Tabile at the Belvedere Hotel, Head Over Heels at the Bank Gastro Bar, Sean McCullen at the Cove Inn, Christopher Jackson at the Creekside Bar, and the Catarockway Chamber Music Festival at the Sphere, and an open mic with Wayne Riley at Time Out Bar. On Thursday, browse the Kingston Public Market and bring your kids to Stories in the Square. Get creative at Bring Your Own Craft or take part in finding scenes in everyday life at the Tet Center. You can also catch a free screening of High School Musical in Springer Market Square or head over to the Queen's Family Night at Elbow Lake. Live music includes Tyson Sullivan, Cullen Slack, Bentley McKegney, Clear Breeze, Doug Vanderhorden, Shane Dunn, the Catarockway Chamber Music Festival, and Waygo at the Toucan. Friday includes the Kingston Sheepdog Trials, Spindle Fest, Spanish Conversation Sessions, Speaking Vibrations at TK Fringe, Nuts at the Tet Center, and Kicking It Country at City Hall Amphitheater. Music highlights include Amanda Keeley Trio at the Cove Inn, Neil Carter at Kicking It Country, Nolan Hubbard at the Waterfront Concert Series, the Wolf Island Music Festival, Heatwave at the RCHA Club, Groove Infused, Lois of the Low, the Celtic Kitchen Party, Dr. Bombay, and John McClurg at the Toucan. Heading into Saturday, don't miss the Women's Arts Festival in City Park, the Kingston Public Market, Chef Demos, Saturday Sessions, and the Sheep to Shawl competition at the Kingston Sheepdog Trials. Live music includes performances at the Women's Art Festival, Texas Tuxedo, and Friends at the So Fro Jam, the Wolf Island Music Festival, and much more. Wrapping things up Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market returns alongside yoga in Battery Park and the shawl auction and spinning frolic at the Kingston Sheepdog Trials. Music includes Taryn McKenna and Vince Tabile at the Belvedere Hotel, live music Sundays at Finkel Shore Park, Marianne Dexler Band at Time Out Bar, Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn, and Ben Nichols, Corey Brannon at the Broom Factory. That's your weekly events and concerts calendar for August 3rd through the 9th. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. I'm Jenny. Thanks for listening and have a great week, Kingston.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, different circles is moving. Same day, different time slot. We're now on Fridays at 9 p.m. Join me from 9 to 10 p.m. for an adventure through sound. Who knows, you might just find your next favorite song.
Got a spring project on the horizon? Whether you're planting a garden, building a deck, installing a fence, or digging a hole for a new tree, don't forget to click before you dig. Utility lines can be just below the surface, and hitting one can cause major damage, service disruptions, or even serious injury. Visit OntarioOneCall.ca before you start to request a free utility locate. Single address requests require at least 5 business days, while larger or multi-property projects may require up to 10 business days. They'll mark out where it's safe to dig so you can work with confidence. Remember, click before you dig. It's the law. For more information, visit utilitieskingston.com.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC. Listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast to Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Featuring the latest songs from artists in Canada and from around the world.
Hosted by DJs from coast to coast to coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily.
Hi, my name is Dan Politano, and you're listening to Earshot Daily. I'm going to kick off today's show with a band from Vancouver. Alien Boys fire on all cylinders with a fierce mix of political punk, queer punk, riot girl, and hardcore. Their EP, Live at Rain City Recorders, was recorded in a single take with no edits, capturing the band's chaotic live energy in real time. I'm going to play you two songs from this. The first one is called Down by the Water, and the next one is called Just Another Piece of Acid.
This is Canada's music.
Earshot Daily.
Rick Sparks and the Enablers released their debut album in 2018 called The Trouble with the Light. It garnered a number of award nominations, including the 2020 SoCan Songwriter of the Year award. Their sophomore album, Pleasures in the Pathless Woods, went to win the 2022 Music PEI Award for Group Recording of the Year, the 2022 City of Summerside Culture Award, and received a 2022 East Coast Music Award nomination for Group Recording of the Year. The song I'm going to play came out November 15th, 2024. It's called Car Crash Sequence.
Thank you.
Daily.
Another Thursday evening, heading down the road. Got the kids in the backseat, wish they never had to go.
Halfway through this edition of Earshot Daily, my name's Dan Politano, and thank you for joining us. I'm from Victoria, BC. That last song was one of mine off my latest EP, What's Your Game, that came out in September 2024. For more information on me, you can visit me online at danpolitano.com, and I also host the Dad Life podcast, which is available on all podcast platforms. Montreal-based singer-songwriter and producer Maya Love immerses you in a genuine, organic, heartfelt universe. This self-taught, multidisciplinary artist who takes her influence from soul, R&B, folk, pop, rock, jazz, and oriental music, co-produced her distinctive debut EP and her latest album, one that will stir your soul. Maya uses music as a way to heal and connect with her inner child and believes at her core that it is a universal language that can be spread to create more love, harmony, and bring people together. The song is called Supernova.
Supernova, over, super, supernova, 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 super, supernova
Today's music from Earshot's digital distribution system.
That song was called Whisper by The August Arrival. The band is led by Yukon songwriter and vocalist Sarah McDonald. It's a solo project supported by friends, incorporating live and recording contributions from an array of musicians who slide in and out of the lineup. Over 13 years, the band has graced stages across Western Canada, performing at a bunch of festivals. Their album All Blue and Gold charted on Earshot Distro for over 15 weeks. If you're an artist and want to get a chance to get on this show, or if you're a broadcaster and want to host, check out earshot-distro.ca for more information. Canadian indie rock band Winter Sleep was formed in Halifax, Nova Scotia in 2001. The Juno Award-winning band has released 7 previous full-length records, the last 2 of which were released on Dine Alone Records. They took a break after the release of their 2019 album In the Land Of, and during that time wrote a wealth of new material. This song came out November 8th, 2024. It's called Fool for a Life.
He woke up every day with that stirring, lazing around, wasting any time on the trivialities of the morning, like the flickering light. Pour it to gold. cup of coffee, leave in a hurry from his kids and his wife. Get the day going, start the ignition, just put it in drive.
Well, that's all for this edition of Earshot Daily. I'm your host, Dan Politano. We hope you've enjoyed this show. We'll be back tomorrow with another half hour of brand new material from all across the country here on the Earshot Daily show. To provide feedback, send us an email at earshotdaily@ncra.ca.
You've been listening to the Earshot Daily, heard across the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca and support community radio at ncra.ca.
Until tomorrow, or Monday if it's Friday.
Are you listening from inside a local prison, or do you have a friend or loved one in a local prison or youth detention center? Calls from Home is a monthly radio program for you. On Calls from Home, we share voicemails, messages, song requests, and dedications. Anyone can contact us with a message or song request for a friend or loved one on the inside. To get in touch, call or text 613-917-1390. Email cfrcprisonradio@riseup.net or send us a message on Instagram at cfrcprisonradio. The CFRC radio signal reaches the following local and regional prisons: Millhaven, Bath, Collins Bay and Frontenac, Joyceville and Pittsburgh, the Sundance Youth Detention Center here in Kingston, Quinte in Napanee, and the Cape Vincent Correctional Facility in upstate New York. Messages and song requests will be broadcast once per month on Wednesday between 7 and 8 p.m. here on CFRC 101.9 FM or on the web at cfrc.ca. For 2025, Calls from Home will air on the following dates: April 16th, May 14th, June 11th, July 9th, August 6th, September 3rd, October 1st, October 29th, November 26th, and December 24th. Please send in your message at least one day before the broadcast date. These upcoming show dates, contact info, and additional information is available online at cfrc.ca or on Instagram at CFRC Prison Radio. We look forward to receiving your messages and sharing them over the airwaves.
Got a spring project on the horizon? Whether you're planting a garden, building a deck, installing a fence, or digging a hole for a new tree, don't forget to click before you dig. Utility lines can be just below the surface, and hitting one can cause major damage, service disruptions, or even serious injury. Visit OntarioOneCall.ca before you start to request a free utility locate. Single address requests require at least 5 business days, while larger or multi-property projects may require up to 10 business days. They'll mark out where it's safe to dig so you can work with confidence. Remember, click before you dig. It's the law. For more information, visit utilitieskingston.com.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Cuomo! Cuomo! My goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC broadcasts from Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee territory. It is 6 p.m. on Wednesday, August 5th. Hi, I'm Skylar James, your host of Trail Mix, bringing you summer songs all season long. And we're into August, which means Trail Mix is winding down for the year.